I was going to run up here, but I'm still a little stiff. Tossing those kids around for sure. Foundation was a little more work than I had planned yesterday. Anthony went down pretty easy, but the other guys were a little bit more difficult. All right, Romans chapter 7. So Romans 7 is talking about our deliverance from the law and what, you know, the law means to us as believers. And the part of the chapter that I want to focus on is verses 12 and 13, where the Bible reads, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." So you see that the Bible is telling us here that the point of the law in the Bible is so that sin becomes exceedingly sinful to us. So it pops out at us. So it's not like, you know, like those eye charts that you see that have the number in it, that he's testing your color and it's kind of a pattern. We don't want it to be like that. The more you're in the Bible, the more you're in a Bible preaching church, sin is going to pop out of that page at you. Okay, this was demonstrated to me just a few weeks ago. We were outside of our circle that we're normally in, and somebody came up to my 8-year-old son with a phone. I think it was a country music video or something, and they were kind of like, "Hey, look at this." And he didn't even look at the phone. He heard the sound coming from the phone. He just said, no. He knew that sin was exceedingly sinful. It was exceedingly sinful to him. So, by the way, that's the power of a family-integrated church. I mean, you think that it's just so we can all be together, but you don't think that these kids, the ones that are saved, they have the same Holy Spirit that you do. And they're understanding what is being preached from this pulpit. So when things like that, you know, when they're, you know, when maybe when you're not looking, I saw it from across the room and I got there as quick as I could, but we need them to be able to have that discernment as well. And that's what the Bible will give us. So tonight, I just want to give you two areas where, you know, you should make sure that you're keeping sin exceedingly sinful in your life. In Romans chapter 12, the Bible reads, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So I want to give you two areas tonight. The first area I want to talk about is something that most of you probably deal with, and that's dealing with unsaved family and keeping sin exceedingly sinful when you're dealing with unsaved family. This is a huge problem for some people. I mean, it exists with most of us, but we need to draw some lines and make sure that we're keeping that sin exceedingly sinful. I'll give you two examples of places I've drawn lines in my family and with dealing with unsaved family. The first one is with alcohol. Okay, in Proverbs 23:31, the Bible reads, "Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." Look, my personal opinion is that alcohol is much more destructive than heroin. That's my opinion. You don't have to agree with it, but I believe that it's so subtle and it exists in so many different families, and kids are being brought up seeing it and being around it. You know, you say you quit drinking. You don't drink anymore. That's great, but you're not supposed to look at it. Your kids are not supposed to look at it. So what's happening when they see Uncle Bobby with a beer is that sin is becoming less sinful to them. So you're preaching something to them. They're hearing it in church, and then they're seeing that nice guy. He's funny. He's nice to them. He buys them presents. Oh, but he's got a beer. Must not be that bad. No, that's wrong. It needs to be exceedingly sinful. So you need to draw some lines. So the lines that we've drawn are, you know, hey, if it's going to be there, we're not going to be there. You know, in my house, it's easy. I control my house. But when I go somewhere else, I can't really tell people how to act in their house. But people know if it's there, I'm not there. Period. That's it. So if you don't want me and my family around, you're going to have to make that square peg, fit in a square hole, basically. Because, you know, we don't do the round peg square hole thing. So, all right. The second one that we've drawn lines with is, you know, sodomites. We've drawn lines. You know, it's going to be an uncomfortable phone call. I'm sorry, but it's going to be. It seems like every single extended family, or a lot of them now, have them. You know, it's a growing problem, obviously. But how am I supposed to preach the Bible and tell, you know, my kids that these people are haters of God, that they're dangerous, that they're child molesters, and be like, oh, except for, you know, unless they're related to us in some way. No, we need to make that phone call. If that person's there, hey, that's great that you want to hang out with that type of people, but we won't be there. That's the bottom line. Okay, look, the bottom line with unsaved family, these are just two examples. You know, just enter any sin in the blank. These are just two examples. If you can't control the situation, don't be in the situation. That's the bottom line, all right? The next one I have is unsaved friends. Okay, unsaved friends. Look, whether you got saved later in life or you got saved, you know, early on, many of us have unsaved friends. You should try to get your unsaved friends saved. You know, same thing with family, right? But we should try to get our unsaved friends. But as far as unsaved friends and hanging out with them, you know, you shouldn't have any. That's the bottom line. These should be your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look, you think that, oh, those guys aren't that bad, especially these two. I've known them for 20 years or whatever. No, you know, ask Jehoshaphat if being friends with Ahab was a big deal. You ask him when you get to heaven. You know, he endured some chastisement in his life, but he destroyed 4 generations of his family. When Jehu went on a rampage and was wiping out the house of Ahab, he wiped out Jehoshaphat's grandchildren too. It cost Jehoshaphat 4 generations of his family. Because when you're hanging out with your unsaved friends, maybe they meet their children. Maybe they marry one of those children, like Jehoshaphat's son did. And maybe your son's new mother-in-law is a Jezebel. Uh-oh. Now we got trouble. Okay, the Bible says, you know, come out from among them and be ye separate. Okay? In Proverbs 27:17, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, iron sharpens iron. Everything else is non-profitable. It's going to hurt your family. It's going to make sin less sinful to your children. Look, you say, these are going to be some uncomfortable phone calls. You know, these are going to be, I can't say that to my dad or my mom or my uncle or whatever. You know, for the leaders in the room tonight, just let me just say that, you know, you are responsible for the spiritual well-being of your children and their physical safety. You know, become a man. Become a man, and your children and your grandchildren will thank you for it. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these men tonight. We thank you for all these people. Please bless the rest of this conference. Bless the preachers tonight. Bless everyone's travels home. We thank you for this church and all the like-minded churches that sent people here, Lord, and all the preachers. Bless the rest of the evening and the fellowship to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.